Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about Shaheed President Ibrahim Raisi and how he was the people's president. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. Our condolences to the Imam of the time and to all of you wherever you are upon this martyrdom of the late President of the Islamic Republic of Iran, President Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi. We wanted to talk a little bit about how he was the people's president. So in order to talk about this, we decided to humbly invite Sayyid Agha Al-Raza. Sayyid, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me again, inshallah.
It's an honor to have you on the talk show. As we had promised during the reaction time, we said that we were going to invite you because there are so many things to talk about when it comes to Shaheed Ibrahim Raisi and of course Shaheed Hussein Amir Abdullahian as well. Just as a side note, even though we've just started the talk show, but I feel like Shaheed Amir Abdullahian, who was the foreign minister of the Islamic Republic, he hasn't been talked about as much as Shaheed Ibrahim Raisi, of course. You know, everything in its due place. But when talking about Shaheed Ibrahim Raisi, of course, our condolences to you as well upon his martyrdom. But when talking about Shaheed Ibrahim Raisi, we find that, you know, he really fit the description of being the people's president. I think this is an important subject because in many of the Western countries around the world, being, you know, a man of the people, or being a president of the people, or being a president from the people, this is something that is used, you know, in their advertising and their propaganda. You know, we've seen it in recent times done really, really well, professionally, if you will, by Donald Trump. Obama also, it was a different kind of propaganda, if you will, but it was the same concept of the people's president from among the people. You know, he came up from the streets when he in reality he came from Ivy League schools. But here what we find is that Shaheed Ibrahim Raisi, Sayyid really manifested this idea of being the people's president. So with that unfortunately long intro, we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, condolences to the Imam of the Age, Allah Ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif, and his deputy Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei Hafizullah Ta'ala, and to all the mu'mineen and mu'minat and the downtrodden and disenfranchised all over the world, people who love justice and gravitate towards it, and obviously condolences to you.
Jazakallah.
When we talk about Shaheed Ibrahim Raisi, we are not just talking about an individual, we're talking about a manifestation of the Islamic model of management.
Very nice.
We are talking about what happens when a person allows himself to be a true student of Islam and a true follower of the divine hierarchy created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the system of wilaya, which obviously in our time during the occultation of Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala faraj al-sharif, and through his mystic guidance behind the scenes,
his spiritual
the spiritual guidance behind the scenes, as the narration goes, that the Imam of the time is like
the sun behind the clouds,
right?
It has its effects.
So in the hierarchy, in today's time, the person to be referred to, the person to be obeyed, the person to be learned from is the deputy of Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala faraj al-sharif, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei hafizahullah ta'ala.
Allah protect him.
Shaheed Ibrahim Raisi and his entire team, Shaheed Amir Abdullahian, Shaheed Sayyid Ali Hashim, who was not only the Friday leader of Tabriz, which is a very important city in Iran, and the center of the province. He was also the representative of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, the Wali Faqih, in his area. All of these people, they represented, first of all, the correct model of Islamic management and Islamic leadership, learned from the teachers of Islam, the true teachers of Islam, according to the hierarchy of wilaya. Mm. So these three things, they get together and they create that synergy, that magic, as to speak, that kind of makes the efficiency and the effectiveness of people grow miraculously.
And they were, I just, because you brought up the names of Shaheed Hussain Amir Abdullahian and Shaheed Ali Hashim, I just had two very quick stories. They're not, they're small stories. One, Shaheed Ali Hashim, of course, you know, very aged, elder, knowledgeable, religious. He was also really involved with the Talibes in Tabriz, right?
Yes.
They showed some videos of him sitting with the students and talking with them and how are you feeling far away from home. Very loving, caring, charismatic, very brave individual. And it's interesting, these people were kind of, they were diamonds in the rough.
Absolutely.
And people didn't know a lot of the background or a lot of the, you know, very, I guess, private and personal personas of these individuals and how much they represented and manifested the teachings of the Quran and
exactly,
the Sunnah of,
exactly.
of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, right? And so the father, because the father of Sayyid Muhammad Ali Ali Hashim, he's still alive,
He's still alive.
And when they talked to him and they said that this, even though he was my son, he cared for me and he treated me and he nurtured me like he was my own father, you know? So I just wanted to say these very important individuals.
Absolutely.
I cut you off,
absolutely.
But you were again talking about the manifestation.
Each one of them deserves to be researched.
Yeah.
You can write many books about them. It's they're such universes of ma'rifah, of divine insight into how a person can become, if they allow themselves to be bathed in that river, that divine river of heavenly knowledge and ethics and morality and spirituality that flow from the true teachings of Islam. Shaheed Ali Hashim Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, in one of his interviews in the past, you see in Tabriz, in the beginning of the revolution, Shaheed Ayatollah Qazi Tabatabai, the prayer leader at the time, the representative of Imam Khomeini and also the Friday prayer congregational leader of the time, was martyred by the Munafiqeen, the American-backed MKO terrorist organization. And then Shaheed Madani, another great mujtahid, who was again representative of Imam Khomeini and the Friday prayer leader of Tabriz, he was martyred by the same terrorist organization. An interesting interesting anecdote about Shaheed Madani, the reason why these people were martyred, both him and Shaheed Qazi Tabatabai, was the fact that they would not create barriers between themselves and the people. So that that they would, they knew the risk, especially at that time. Remember, 17,000 civilians, normal people, were murdered, slaughtered by the MKO terrorist organization, which the American government does not believe to be a terrorist organization. Which they allow the French government and the American government, especially, they allow them to work openly on their in their territories, and in fact they welcome them into their official houses, into the White House.
They open-heartedly and 17,000
people. And if you search this over the internet, you will see how they used to mutilate the bodies of these people, just because they thought that these were religious people, women, children, old people, merchants in the bazaar. Girls, small girls from schools. The MKO, the Munafiqeen Khalq organization, who calls themselves the Mujahideen Khalq organization. So these people, the Shaheed Qazi Tabatabai, Shaheed Madani, they knew the risk of not creating these barriers and these bureaucratic hurdles between the people.
These man of the people, if you
this
will.
This man of the people, this approachability that they had learned from the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
really
from
beautiful.
Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib did not have barriers between him and the people, and that is what kind of allowed Ibn Muljim to get to him, right?
To get so close to him.
Exactly. So this was the reason why women, women with bombs attached to them were able to get to these great scholars, right? Under the guise of someone who's asking for help or has a question.
So
Shahid Ali Hashim, in one of his interviews, he was smiling and he said that Tabriz has two martyrs, both of them were Sayyid, both of them were Friday prayer leaders, both of them were representatives of the Wali Faqih, and they were both Shaheed-e-Mihrab because they were Friday prayer leaders. Khayli umidwaram, he said, I'm very hopeful that Tabriz will have a third.
Subhanallah.
This yearning for martyrdom, this yearning for liqa'ullah.
This meeting with Allah.
This meeting with Allah, meeting with the beloved. This constant yearning for the beloved.
Yes.
For that other world. This is what characterizes all of the shuhada.
Yes, all of them the had this. Yeah.
All of the shuhada. Yeah. So this is one of, and it's famous. Like it's, he was one of the people. He would not use protocol cars and vehicles.
Right, bodyguards, yeah. Heavy.
He would go around in buses. He would go around in buses sometimes. On the buses, like if there's a kid standing, he would pick up the kid, put him on his lap, say, okay, no need to stand. Sometimes he would stand up himself for someone who's elderly. And this is the guy who's the representative of the Wali Faqih.
Yeah, he has a lot of enemies. Yeah.
Exactly. Not only the fact that he has a lot of enemies and there's a huge risk, the fact that his position
Is really auspicious and prominent.
He is the representative of
the
leader of the Islamic revolution in terms of in the worldly context, what Western audiences would understand, right? The supreme is leader of the system.
Incredibly high-ranking position.
Extremely high-ranking position that kind of oversees everything else that is happening in the province. And then from a spiritual and religious sense, he was the representative of the deputy of Imam-e-Zaman.
Yeah, he was the representative of the representative,
exactly.
As I call
it. Right? So it's like if Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam had appointed someone to be his representative somewhere else, like Hani ibn Urwa, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi.
It's a huge...
So this is the position spiritually in terms of the world, and so humble, so humble.
They told him, they said, listen, you need to have some bodyguards, you need to have some armored vehicles and these kind of things. You know, there is a threat to your life, and so he would laugh, and I saw it in his interview. He said that I would laugh and I would say, you know, until something happens, you don't need any of these things. And it's like Sayyid, you know, Sayyid, if something happens, then it's dead, it's done, you know. Yes. You can't save yourself. But this is how at peace, serene tranquility,
absolutely,
nearness to Allah that they
and have. We need to explain to the audience sometimes, because the enemy would take these points and say see, these people, they're not rational, they're not logical. No, brothers and sisters, they weigh two things. See, in every decision we make, there's a risk and there's a reward, right?
Sure.
When they see that my role as a teacher, because they're Islamic scholars or Islamic activists, right, my role as an emissary of the Imam of the time. Every Shia is an emissary of the Imam of the time, but they have a certain place in the hierarchy. So these scholars, when they see that I am a scholar of Islam, I am a teacher, I am a father to the nation, I am a physician to those who are in spiritual problems, in spiritual ailments, right?
A man with a responsibility to the people.
To the people, right? I have been appointed to serve the people, to raise them up. When they see this responsibility and then they see the risk, they understand the risk, but they say, this is how they think, this is how they've been taught by the A'immah of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They say, this mission is more important than my life.
Yes.
In fact, if I am martyred, this mission will be fulfilled even better. As you see right now, right?
Yeah, mashallah. Yeah.
As Imam Khomeini said, the more you kill us, the more our people will become alive and will wake up. Right? And that is the power of martyrdom. One of the things that defeats the ta'ghut and destroys the ta'ghut's calculations is that the ultimate thing that ta'ghut can do after deception and treachery and lies is finally, when nothing works, kill the individual, kill the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the faithful, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his grand scheme has created this system that when the blood of a martyr flows, it destroys the deception of the ta'ghut.
Yeah.
Right? So it works, it's counterproductive to the ta'ghut, right? So the ta'ghut is always stuck in this losing position, in this there's no win-win situation for him. No way out.
It's interesting. I mean, I want to go back to the people's president aspect, but this is interesting here. And I know on multiple cases, you know, you have said how there's a certain psychosis and this kind of a crazy mentality that these guys have. I mean, eventually, as a taghut, when you realize you're in a lose-lose situation, it's like, okay, give up.
You should give up, yeah.
You know, just give up. You know, either way, you're going to lose. Yeah. Give up. Maybe somebody will have mercy on you, you know. But no, this psychotic, crazy mentality that even if it's a lose-lose situation, I'm taking everybody down with me, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess continuing to that whole the people's president aspect of all of these individuals, even though we had started with Shahid Ibrahim Raisi, but we're seeing that no, every single one of these individuals that were martyred, they had this aspect of being
absolutely
among the people, from the people,
among
for
the people, in service to the people, seeing themselves as teachers, guides, seeing themselves as physicians, doctors for the people, for their problems, for their ailments, holistically, comprehensively, not having times of day, working 24 hours. There's an interesting thing that they said about Shahid Ali Hashim after his martyrdom, that the first time throughout his career as representative of Imam Khamenei in Tabriz, it was after his martyrdom that his mobile would not be picked up. Anyone could call his mobile, his cell phone.
Amazing.
So they said, Mushtarake murid nazar barai avvalin bar dar dast rasnist. The subscriber, for the first time in his lifetime,
is
inaccessible. Right? So this was the ruhiya, this was the spirit that they had. And another thing that is common amongst all of these, we were talking about values last time, right? Is that even though they work extremely hard, they work in a manner that puts everyone else in at shame, especially the materialist, the materialist civilization and the models that they have created.
Sure.
They cannot even dream of working as hard as these people do, especially against all of the threats, all of the abuse, all of the accusations, all of the constant attacks, right?
Right, yes.
But at the same time, after all this work, after all this work, after back-breaking work, in the end, when they talk to their Lord, to their Master, to their Beloved, they do not feel that they still feel themselves to be
inadequate.
In his debt.
Yeah.
Inadequate, right?
Yeah.
And that, again, they have learned from the A'imma of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. That no amount of service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
is enough,
right? Because even that service itself is a tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's circular, right?
Yes.
So the more you work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in service of His people, in service of the faithful, in service of the downtrodden, the more you work, the more indebted you are, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this
grace
opportunity and this grace and this blessing to be able to do so.
Yeah.
So now coming to Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi, Ayatullah Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi, this person, this magnificently academically successful individual who was a mujtahid in the Hawza sense, which obviously is one of an extremely difficult thing to achieve.
Yes, yeah, of course, yeah.
And then at the same time, he had a doctorate, a PhD from the university in fiqh wa huquq, which is jurisprudence and law, because law is the constitutional manifestation of legal affairs of that same jurisprudence, but it has its own arena and its own academic environment. And that is why he was in the judiciary as well.
He was the chief justice.
Ultimately, he was the chief justice. And he became a public prosecutor when he was in his early 20s. And an interesting thing about him, he was orphaned at the age of 5.
Yeah, this is really amazing about him.
So, and there were two brothers and two sisters, and the entire weight of that family, the economic, the financial weight, the weight of being able to educate these kids, especially in that era of turmoil after the revolution, right, where things weren't as open as they are right now. There wasn't so much relief from the government. There weren't so many opportunities in terms of education. The revolution was trying to secure itself, right? and so many sacrifices were being given, and obviously the imposed war by the imperialist West through Saddam Hussein and his Baath Party. In this entire scenario, and obviously before the revolution, before the revolution, when he was obviously he's martyred and he needs to grow up in that environment, the entire weight of his siblings comes on him.
Yeah.
And he bears that weight. This is the kind of upbringing that he has, right? And if you look at pictures of the house that his mother lives in right now, I don't know how to describe it. It's something that maybe a person who is right on the borderline of poverty, right, in the United States or in the United Kingdom, living in what I think they call a community housing.
Yeah,
something of that sort. The way that that house is, the sofa, the stuff inside the house, and how humble this woman is.
Yeah,
the least that a person in his position could have done, because even before he was the Chief Justice, he was the head of something called Clause 49 of the Islamic Republic's Constitution.
Okay,
Clause 49 is basically empowers the judiciary and the government to redistribute wealth, ill-acquired wealth that has been confiscated by the government from people who were involved in illegal activities, in usury, in smuggling, in drug smuggling, etc., etc., etc. So this huge wealth coming, and it is all at the discretion of his signature.
So he could have done a very...
He could have like made millions for himself.
Well, like
right?
some of the famous, you know, figures in Islamic history where they went to their houses and they had to break gold with axes. Yeah.
Right in the time after the Prophet,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So he you know, he was the exact opposite.
He was the
follower
exact
of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salam,
and absolutely
redistributing this, the people's president.
So this was the situation that he was in, and the way he behaved remained the same.
Yeah.
Remained the same.
Yeah.
There's this this scenario that has been, this scene that has been caught on camera as well, on someone's mobile. He was traveling in a minibus from one village to another, and some villagers were gathered on the road. And they were waving to him and they wanted to stop him, and there were old women there. So he tells the driver to stop. But the security in charge, he waves at the driver not to listen to the president. And when they
cross, because the security guy, this is a security risk, man.
Yeah.
This is not normal, a bunch of old ladies in the middle of the street in the village.
He's doing his own duty.
Yeah, of course.
But look at, again, that risk and reward,
between,
right?
Yeah.
So Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi, he becomes angry. He says, if you do this again, first of all, he tells him to stop the car. Then if you do this again, then I'm not going to fire you because you're doing your job, right? I'm going to come and sit and drive myself.
So then, and I'll stop wherever I want.
And I'll stop wherever I want. So he either listen to me, because he knew the value of being a servant to the people.
Yeah.
To showing the people that I am not someone who sits above you, but I am someone who sits below you at your service.
Yeah.
One of the spiritual teachings of Islam, if you look at how congregational prayers are arranged, is that the imam, the prayer leader, is supposed to be lower than the people praying behind him.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I never thought of it in these terms.
Even though in terms of his official position from Allah
he's
subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's way higher.
Else.
But he must make himself lower in order to fulfill that responsibility that he has from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people.
Right? Yeah, subhanAllah.
And you see this in the seerah of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. A lot, how he that anecdote that he goes to the house of one of the martyrs, and then he sweeps the house clean,
plays
and
with
then
the children.
Plays with the children, and he falls down on the ground and acts like a sheep so that the children can like laugh, right? Bringing yourself down to that level that is lower and feeling indebted to the people, because those people have provided the grounds for you to be the recipient of divine grace to be able to fix their problems and therefore gain divine rewards and divine blessing and divine love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there were no people, if there were no people, as they say in Iran, Wali Ne'mat, if there were no people, who would you serve? How would you go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It can't happen in isolation, right?
It's interesting, Shahid Raisi, he has a statement like this. He says that for me, and when he says for me, this is an Islamic principle that he's putting forward, right? But he says that serving the people is like, or it is as if one serves Allah.
Absolutely.
You know? So he's equating the serving of the two people and being of service to the people as the worship of Allah subhanahu
Absolutely.
Wa ta'ala. And how different this Islamic perspective is, you know, than what we see all across the rest of the world, especially the Western world, you know. You know, you see the heavy-handed crackdown on the student protesters, you see the very heavy-handed crackdown on Black Lives Matters, you know. It seems like people very quickly forget so much of this stuff that's happening. Mm. You know, the minority rights being trampled in the United States of America. When you go to France, you had the yellow vests. Now you have, like, I think, truck drivers that are protesting
farmers,
because of gasoline and farmers. And I mean, these governments are so completely, I mean, light years away from this very ideal, divine Islamic principle that the president is saying that, you know, if one of the ways in which I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by being at the service of the people. Mm.
Human collective experience has shown that if your ideology is such, if your belief is such that you cut the divine out of the picture, or you have the divine in the picture, but you are following a deviant or a corrupt system
strength.
Of thought, then you will ultimately end up enslaving the people, right? Because you will either see them as your property, which happened during the feudal age, during the age of the Catholic Church when it was in power,
yes,
and in ages before that, in the age of monarchies throughout history.
Yeah, these great
people
landowners,
were properties,
feudal landlords.
Or you will end up calling out for a slogan of the people's dictatorship, and then ultimately become enslaving the people as a dictator. And because and the third is when you call out for liberal democracy, and you say power to the people, from the people, by the people, through the people, and all of these other sentences that seem very nice. But ultimately, it descends down to you using the people, utilizing them, seeing them as cogs in your system for your own profit. And the reason, the common reason behind all of this is that when you cut God, the true concept of God, out of the picture, then you're left with no moral compass. Then you're left with no ethical responsibility.
It's like you took the soul out of a human body. It's just a dead
corpse. And all you're left with is self-interest.
Yeah.
Right? So why should I serve anyone? My interest, if I have this facade of service that they have in the West in modern times, it's because it helps me get the people on my side so that I can reach power and then, alhamdulillah, be able to enrich those Zionist elite in my country, right?
Yeah.
And therefore perpetuate their rule upon the people.
Yes.
So people are being exploited, right? The only system that allows true service to the people is a system where there is a God who is, and you have duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to serve the people because that is your trust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This amana.
And you know that if you do not do this, if you are in a position of power, in a position of responsibility, and you do not do this, then you will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
وَلَا يُمْكِنُ الْفِرَارِ مِنْ
حُكُمَتِكَ.
There is no way of running away, of circumventing his control and his accountability, right? That is the only paradigm that works. Now, this was theoretically true in history, because the A'imma weren't allowed to work after the Prophet. They weren't allowed to work in a manner that the theory could extend into actualization to the practical manifestation and show itself. But one of the miracles of the Islamic Revolution, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the spiritual guidance of Imam Al-Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, is that the theory of Islam has been allowed to manifest itself, not only as a software, as a system, that allows democracy. Democracy, in terms, what I mean by democracy is allowing the people to have the power to participate and choose and exercise their free will in matters related to their own government. And at the same time have that divine nature, that divine soul infused into the system.
Right? And it's practically manifested now on the ground.
On the ground, right? So this has happened for the first time in history in the experiment of the Islamic Revolution. And then this same system has trained individuals like Shahid Rajai, like Shahid Beheshti, like Shahid Ibrahim Raisi, like Shahid Amir Abdullahian, like Shahid Ali Hashim Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhim Ajmain, and Shahid Bahunar and others before them, right? It has shown that this model can create individuals that the entirety of humanity can only yearn for in their own countries and their own systems.
Very profound.
This is the miracle. Like, this is exactly the sentence of Imam Khamenei in one of the demise anniversaries of Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi. Imam Khamenei said that the miracle of Imam Khomeini was that he created such individuals. It wasn't just like turning a political system around and throwing out the Shah. These are smaller things. Creating people like Chamran, creating people like all of these great heroes of the revolution and of the defense war. And now you see this still continuing with full force. Ibrahim Raisi, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi, Amir Abdullahian, they are of this generation, right?
Right.
And the people supporting them are of this generation. And then you have even younger people like Shahid Ajamian, Shahid Ali Wardi. All of these people, the people who went out for the defense of the holy shrines of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, Shahid Hujaji, Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayhim ajmain. All of these are of the later generations, people who have not seen Imam Khomeini themselves.
Mashallah.
But it continues that culture is becoming embedded, has become embedded, and now, like seeds that have fallen into fertile ground, they are giving rise to more and to fruit every day. Like the Quran says, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتْ وَفَرُّهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ تُؤْتِي أُقُلُهَا فِي كُلِّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So this is what's going on right now.
Translate the Arabic too.
The Quran says that the kalimatul haq, the kalimatul tayyibah, is like the purified tree, which has roots. Which roots are sabit, they are steadfast.
Firm, determined.
And then its furu, its branches are spread out in the sky.
In the heavens.
Giving fruit at every moment by Allah's will. So it's a continuously productive system where fruit is, new fruit is formed. The old fruit is utilized. Now it rejuvenates itself because the roots are firm. The roots are steady. The roots are constantly nourishing these branches. And the branches are spread out in the sky, which is an interesting metaphor of how comprehensive and widespread the application and influence of true Islam is.
Jazakallah, Sayyidah Ghali Raza. I will cut the talk show there with a very beautiful point that this Islamic revolution, mashallah, you know, by the grace and the help of Allah, its roots are firm and they're becoming more firm. And the fruits of this very blessed tree, such as Shahid Ibrahim Raisi and Shahid Amir Abdullahian and Shahid Ali Hashim, Shahid Hash Qasim Suleimani, Abu Mahdi, you know, Shahid Beheshti, Bahunar, Rajai, all of these great auspicious shuhada, and a lot of other people that are the fruits of this very beautiful tree, inshallah. Very profound statement indeed. Our condolences again to you and your loved ones, inshallah. We hope to have you on another talk show, inshallah. And jazakallah, thank you so much to your viewers for joining us on the talk show. We were talking about how Shahid Ibrahim Raisi was the people's president. That's all from us for now. Fi amanullah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.